Be careful.
And Scott Higgins, both of them coked up out of their minds.
Ah, listen to you. He's down in the basement. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I think we should call this the acement.
The acement, yes.
Yeah, what do you think there, huh?
I like that. The acement studios. Oh.
Excuse me, I'm drinking beer. Hold on a second.
We usually drink bourbon on our end. Yeah, right. The podcast, so.
That's all right.
Feel free to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot an eight ball if you want. We don't care. As long as it's good stories.
Welcome to the Acement, everybody. It's time to go behind the funny. This is Scott Higgins.
And this is Ace Aceto.
And speaking of bourbon, as you heard in our intro tonight, my buddy Ace Aceto has brought in one of our all-time faves, Jefferson's Reserve.
Yes.
A mighty fine bourbon. I love that you've done Dry January because you came out of there.
Right out of the gates, didn't I?
Shot out of a cannon.
Yep. And brought I ain't getting the low end shit. Yeah. I want some good
he
stuff.
He didn't bring in gasoline. Nope. He brought in the good stuff, baby. He's not fucking around. I love it. I love it. So clinkies.
And I'd clinkies to our guest.
But you
all right, there we go.
Oh, there you go, to the chalice.
I'm fucking heard of.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm not drinking.
But you got the minion cup, so.
That's right.
Yes, I do.
Ace hooked you up.
Well,
Ace
either that or a princess cup, so. Although he would have pulled off either one.
Yeah, he could have pulled it off.
We are so excited. So for those of you that are only listening and not seeing this.
Or wondering what a Viking is doing in the Ace.
Yes, we need to take a picture with him so that when we post
this.
On social media.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Can see who is in the studio, in the Acement, who is a returning guest, but we haven't seen him in a while.
It's been a while. Rehab was rough on me.
In fact,
court appointed, not mine. You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that. I'm not a fucking quitter.
They brought you way back.
Is that ankle bracelet uncomfortable, by the way?
It is a little bit uncomfortable, especially at airports.
Yeah.
Thank you for putting it on vibrate so it doesn't disrupt the podcast. Yeah.
You're welcome. I'm always happy to help out.
We appreciate that.
We are so excited to have our buddy, the Comedy Barbarian, Mike McCarthy.
What's happening, fellas?
What's going on, buddy? I know we had you on a couple of times, and now it's been like, what, three, four years?
It has been a while, yeah. Guys, COVID got in the fucking way, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and then the last time we had you on, you were on the infamous, you know it's going to be a bad gig when it was me, you,
And Parada.
Yeah.
And that was
great. We came up with the top 10 list or the top 12.
It ended up being 12.
That
is still a go-to list that we use on this all the time. Because it's so funny.
Those are the Jedi Masters writing down the list, kids.
That's right.
Okay? Pay attention.
When people are referring to their funny bad gigs and we're like, oh, yeah, TV's left on. Yeah, that's on the list.
Oh, yeah, that's on the list. Oh, we didn't miss much.
No.
With like 170 years of comedy sitting around the table.
You and Parada alone.
We've seen it all.
You guys told, I think, 8 or 9 of the 12.
I'll tell you, brother, it's rough out there sometimes.
I'll tell you, brother, I book anything, but I wouldn't book that gazebo at Cottage City.
That was we had him on, and we were talking about shitty gigs, and I think it was Mary Ellen.
She talked about Dave DiLorenzo.
Dave DiLorenzo booking.
Oh, God bless him.
God bless him, I know. He booked the gazebo. Dave was a great guy, not a good booker.
I'm well aware.
I think everyone is.
He moved down to Florida, and I got the shaft down there, too. Yeah, it's nice. I can get in both states.
He covered you on the whole East Coast.
But he booked the gazebo in the middle of Garden City.
In the parking lot.
And Parada. Wow. Parada visibly.
Someone picked that up.
Deuce chills. Yeah, who books that? Parada got the deuce chills and was like, brother, I'll book anything. I'll book a bus stop, but I won't book that gazebo.
Kid, when Johnny's going, I'm going to pass.
You know.
You know it's bad.
You know. Yeah,
exactly.
I I have never heard of John saying no. You know, whenever John calls me, I'm like, hey, you know, I love you. Where's it at?
please don't take this the wrong way. Will there be a roof?
Yeah. I might be busy that night, depending on where you're having the show.
Exactly.
I got this gig. It's at a clam bake club. It's outside down in Newport.
He actually called me one time, and he's like, hey, I got this gig. It's this biker bar. Last year, they almost beat the shit out of one of the comedians. You want to do it for me this year? Selling me very well. Hey,
sometimes they turn out great, man.
We ended up having a blast. I did it. We had a blast, but you didn't lead in with the good part of this, John.
I appreciate that. You know, the truth. Give me the truth right up front. Hey, brother, listen. This is going to be a pool party. The girls, they get drunk and they smoke weed right in front of you, and then you jump.
Did you do
pool.
That one?
You've done that too.
There was the boss.
At the house.
The fucking boss.
At the house.
Had all kinds of weed and booze and food. It was fantastic. Like when he's ringing it up, though, I'm like, wait, this is going to be in the afternoon. We're going to be in front of a pool. He's like, brother, it's the fifth year we're doing it. I'm like,
oh, yeah, well, multiple times, too.
Glutton for punishment. It's exactly what he said. Yep. Bunch of rich people laughing their asses off.
Oh, yeah.
Having a fucking blast. It was fucking fantastic. Yeah.
The year I did it, it was raining. They were still in the pool.
Oh, yeah.
One guy is under the diving board, stoned out of his skull, holding onto the diving board. And they're like, you guys were awesome. I was like,
I think it's the only time I've done drugs on stage. Really? Like, they were throwing them at me. Like, I'm literally throwing gummies at me. I'm trying to catch them in my mouth, getting paid for it. Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Oh, it was wonderful.
It was fantastic.
My Halloween one was good. He said it's downstairs in a basement. Yeah, they're throwing some kind of pirate party. I thought of you, the only guy I know in a costume.
A pirate.
I'll
pirate,
take it, brother. Hey, pirate, Viking, barbarian, whatever. Swords, right? Yeah. Okay, I'm in.
Swords, horns, whatever, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're going to have chicken palm
I'll
there.
Throw in an earring. How's that sound?
I love the guy. I absolutely love the guy.
One of the best, no question.
It was, who did we have him on with, and they were telling the story of a bad gig? He goes, that's not one of mine, was it?
No, John.
And they're like, no, John, that wasn't yours. He goes, oh, that sounded like one of mine.
One of my favorites, though. One of the best, too, on stage, no doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Always off the cuff.
Yeah.
He couldn't do that.
He's a master, and he's been doing it that way forever.
But you know what it is? It's because he has a repertoire of certain crowd work things.
Yeah.
It's the same material all the time. Out of maybe 100 jokes, he might be picking 40 of them that night. And it's based on, there's a bald guy in the crowd.
Hey, the Backstreet Boys on crack over here. What's going on?
Hey, I want to sniff some coke off your head. You know, what do you say? Me and you ever have a 400-pound comic roll off you in the morning? I got wiener wrappers in my fold.
Fat
you
guy know? Tattoos.
It's sausage
tattoos.
Links.
Nice job with the hanging on to the ass for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This table looks like a casting call for Cocoon 2.
Yeah.
we talk about it all the time when he asks, what do you do? And somebody says something he has no idea what it is,
and he goes,
I got nothing.
I got nothing for that.
Beautiful.
Which is just as funny.
Beautiful. Right? I got nothing. How about you?
You always hear the one table of comedians in the back bust out laughing
when he does that. I actually got him. I got him a couple of years ago. He was on, and he said, I did this thing. It was at a school or something. I go, imagine John doing a thing at preschool. What do you do, kid? What do you walk up and down Atwell's Avenue sniffing glue?
Eating paste.
Eating paste. Oh, my God. He, we love John. We always say it. We love him. He gives a lot of people a lot of stage time.
Yeah, Bill Burr paid him back,
It's not always good stage time, but it's stage time.
Stage time.
But toughens you up.
Bad stage time can be fucking, teach you some lessons.
It toughens you up.
You learn.
No question.
Well, because think about it. Think about your worst Parada show as compared to your worst club show.
Yeah.
Hands down, no contest,
no contest, absolutely.
You will never have a crowd in a club as bad as a really bad Parada gig.
Yeah, it steals you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important, especially in the beginning.
You gotta get some of those skin.
Right, and some of those shows, like some of his, where you're fighting to get anybody's attention in the crowd, if you can really pull people in and get them listening to you, it seems easy when you go to a place where they want to listen to you.
Right.
Oh, no question, man. Like, when it goes great, you know, you don't learn too much.
No.
I mean, you know, you work on your craft and you get some good lines and stuff like that, but when it's a tough one, you walk out of there and you go, all right,
Okay. I got to switch it up. I got to change it.
Change this up.
Louis C.K. said that one time. He goes, I never learned a single thing when I've done great.
Yeah. Just every once in a while, it's nice to have a after the tough ones, you go, all right.
You need that to get that bad mojo off your back.
They kind of like me tonight, you know? You walk back in the house, the wife goes, how's it go? Fucking good.
Fucking good. I don't want to kill myself tonight.
Exactly. But doesn't it scare you when you have too many good ones in a row?
Oh, you know one's
because
coming.
Yes,
you know
it's exactly.
Coming. Yeah. No, you're like, one's coming.
Is it going to be this week?
Absolutely.
Is it going to be next week?
Absolutely. You never get too high. I never do.
You're waiting for that bad one to come. When
the young kids do, they're like, I'm killing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm knocking it out. Every night I've been slaying. You're like,
How many times?
She's going to come and tap it on your shoulder, son.
Especially when they're brand new and they're like, yeah, I'm killing.
Yep.
How many times you been on stage? Five times in 5 weeks. How many of your friends have been in the crowd? Yeah. Wait until that drops off and then talk to me.
Remember when we had Jason Merrill on?
Yes.
And he, great guy, very funny comic. And he goes, honestly, he goes, I've never really bombed. He goes, I've been doing this like 6 years. Even in the beginning, I never really bombed. And he goes, people always ask me, he goes, no. He goes, never really bombed. And then like a week later, he goes, I cursed myself. Second I said that to you guys,
it's coming.
He goes, a week later, I had a show.
I had the worst
show I've ever had.
It's not if, it's when.
As soon as you, like you said, you get cocky, that's when she sneaks
start
up on
you. Start
feeling
that shit, you say, yeah, I'm the man. No, you're not. No, you are not, my friend.
No. Comedy, she always comes back.
No question.
Comes to
get
you.
No doubt.
So you have, in the past couple of years, you've been doing a lot of road work. You've been staying more local. What have you been doing?
Oh, definitely more local, man. I kind of came off the road after COVID.
Yeah.
I don't tour with the Irish guys anymore. I don't really go around the country anymore. It's a, I'm 56. You know, I like it at home. I mean, who knows what the future holds, but I got to be honest, just being there for COVID and being around my house, I was like,
I kind of like this.
And let's be honest, here in New England, you can do just fine.
Yeah.
And I'm not thrilled about airports and hotels. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Sweet. I go for a week. I go down to Florida like twice a year.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go to Vegas. I'll go anywhere that they'll, but I'm not doing well. I used
you
to
don't
be a road
do it all
dog.
The time.
I was going to say, you were.
Yeah, no, I was really for like 10, 12 years.
You're a road warrior.
Everywhere, dude. Alabama, Mississippi,
all
over the country. And it got a little tiresome. It was fun, you know, when I was young, having a blast, but my liver can't take it. You know what I mean? Like, I go on the road for 2 weeks, all of a sudden my check liver light comes on. I'm like, time to go home.
Well, and you know, how old are your kids now?
They're 21 and 19. I really wanted to be around when my son went into college, when my daughter graduated high school.
Yeah.
And the lot that I missed, I got to see the past couple of years.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, that's definitely. And that's why I don't regret the fact that I never went on the road and I got the day job. And a lot of bookers made me feel bad about that. Like, oh, you're not a real comic. No, you know what? My priorities, I love doing comedy. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But my priorities are my family.
And he didn't have any offers anyway, so that worked out.
I wasn't going to say
asshole.
Well, that's the thing, man. Look, there are many comics that have been on the road and they forego having a family and stuff like that.
Well,
they're fucking kind of miserable now.
Yeah.
They're fucked up, dude.
Yeah.
We have Christine Hurley's husband, Jimmy, and I.
Yeah.
Like, you know. I don't know, old comics that aren't married and don't have kids are a little fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
It's been about them their whole lives, and now they're like 60, 65, and they're like, what the fuck?
And they're also not getting the work they used to get.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah,
some
I mean, I can't imagine not having my family.
Right.
Like, no, okay, I can't imagine being where I'm at now, not successful and not having a family.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Not like, a household name. Because you're successful.
Yeah, no, I still do it for a living and stuff like
that.
Not to
that level.
Like the level.
Right.
Like if I didn't have, if I had given it all up and tried and been right here, I'd be like, God damn.
Right.
But now I'm like, this is still pretty sweet, man. You know what I mean? Like I still have the American dream. I have that family. And I still get to do what I love for a living.
Right. And I've said it before when, you know, people will say, oh, but you never really made it. And I'm like, you know
what is making it?
I still
it's different for
everybody.
No,
but it's what they see.
Right.
Oh, you used to work with Bill Burr and Patrice O'Neill, and you didn't make it to that. No, I didn't. And I'm happy for the fact that those guys made it.
No,
and
they dedicated their lives to it.
Right.
Exactly.
They moved to New York City. I remember when Patrice left, Joey left. They were like, going to get it.
Yep.
We never did that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I went out to New York for, I think, a month.
Yeah.
And I stayed with my buddy Rocky, and after a month, his landlord was like, The apartment is for two, not for three. And he's like, yo, yeah, dude, you got to get the fuck out of Queens. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I was there a month. I got on stage once. I was working at Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips.
Really?
Okay, making minimum wage, hanging out in the village, trying to get on. I get on stage once at the Boston Comedy Club.
Wow.
Month. And I was living in Boston, working, you know, every weekend, four times a week. I gave that up to go to New York and get nothing.
When get nothing.
When he said you got to go home, I was like, no problem,
okay,
dude.
Thank you.
And also, no problem whatsoever. In places like that, even if you're getting stage time, you're not really making money. You're just getting stage time.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You've got to go out of the city to make money.
Yeah. And I didn't have a car. I mean, you know, who knows? There was a chance. I moved out to brilliant move. I moved out to Vegas in like 1994. I'm like, oh, I'll audition in Vegas. And they're like, yeah, we're booked out of L.A. and New York, and there's no room for guest sets.
Right.
And I had no car. And I'm like, nice. I stay in Vegas for 6 weeks on $1,000. That's when Vegas was Vegas.
Wow.
The booze was free.
Yeah.
You could get a T-bone for like 99 cents and stuff.
Right.
It was fun, but there was no work.
Rooms were like $30 a night.
I should have bounced to L.A. There was a chance to like take a bus and go watch the Pats play at the Coliseum. And I was like, I'll watch the game and just fucking never get back on the bus.
Stay there, yeah.
And I didn't do it because I met a girl the night before the Bruins game in Las Vegas. And,
Things work out
the way they work out.
Yeah. I have a friend, and we all know who it is, but I'm not going to say his name, who actually did the opposite of all of us, where he started comedy young, met someone, married them after he became a comic, and after a couple years when his career kind of stayed the same, she's like, okay, you know,
time to grow up,
time to maybe rethink this thing. And he said no, and she said, well, I'm not going to live like this. So they got divorced, and he kept plugging away, and it didn't work out, and ended up leaving comedy altogether later on, and basically has no one because he didn't want to give up that dream and sacrificed a relationship over it. You know, and everything. And you know what, hey, everyone's got to follow their own path. This person wanted to, I'm going to make it,
but
it's tough.
I started saying it before, though, when people say, oh, but you didn't get to where Bill Burr or Dane Cook is. Yeah, but I still get to do the same job as them. It's not in front of as many people. It's not for as much money.
The audience.
Yeah. It's not for as much money, but I didn't get into it to make money.
No, I got to
think about it. That first time someone handed you $25, you were like, wait. You're paying me for what I've been doing open mics for?
Ryan
this is just
Deary
fun, right?
At, what was it
Funny
called?
Funny Farm Comedy.
No. What was the place called down there?
Windsor's.
Windsor's.
You've told that story.
That's what the first place
my
I got
first,
paid.
That was my first paying gig.
Yep. Ryan Deary. Holy shit. That's fucking awesome.
Double headliner show. Ed the Machine Regine and Joe Rogan.
Wow.
And that's who I opened for.
Wow.
And there was a couple of other people on the show.
There was a window behind you. Oh,
yep.
Man, it was crazy.
It was like a sunken living room.
Yep.
And the problem was they did it on Sunday nights.
Yep.
And all the kids from URI, because it's a suitcase college, would come back that night for the dance party, college dance party that started at 9. Comedy was from 7 to 8:30. And those kids would start showing up at like 7:30, all lined around the thing, because of course they didn't have to pay. They just let them in.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't give a flying fuck that there was a comedy
was a
show
room.
Going on.
Did you ever do Jimbo's when Annette Pollock had it?
Yes. Quincy, South Shore.
Five Corners.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember the room in the back where they put the stage in the middle and the window was behind you there, too?
Oh, yeah.
And people would drive by in the middle of your set and they'd see someone standing on a stage and they'd
wondering
honk
the
horns
fuck was going on.
Outside and shit like that. And
AJ's got a place down the Cave, the Red Nun, same thing. Have you?
I've been in the Red Nun, but I haven't done comedy.
They got
there
a glass,
yet.
And people just stop and knock on the
glass.
Shit faced people. I fucking like it. I'm like, excuse me. I turn back around. I'm like trying to mouth fucking Stevie Wonder, Helen Keller. You know, it's a fun gig. You know what I mean? If it was a serious gig, you'd be like, dude, put up a fucking put up a curtain.
Put up
or something.
A curtain or something.
Yeah,
it's just a fun. Yeah.
Windsor's, holy shit.
Yeah, I watched Windsor's. Paul D'Angelo almost fall through the window at Jimbo's. Because he stood on the stool, and when he went to get off of it, he fell backwards.
Oh,
and we all
goodness.
Thought he was going through the glass right out the window out to the
man.
Street.
He's a slayer, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Destroys.
Paul, who came on and talked about the show where they they were doing the show, and there was glass behind him, and some guy... Oh, no. Was it Mike McDonald telling the Mike Moto story?
Mike Modo, holy shit, you guys are going back.
He told some great stories about Mike Modo.
I'm working with him this Friday up in Lebanon, New Hampshire at the Opera House.
Comedy Andrea Extravaganza.
Andrea Kramer, Kenny Rogerson.
Yes. So great lineup for the show.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Well, in true Mike McDonald fashion, we go, tell us about a funny bad gig. I'm not going to tell you a story about anyone else, but I got three Mike Modo stories.
And they were great stories. Were great.
But one guy, I guess Modo was up on stage. He was doing his act. And some guy, watched some guy pull up in a car.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Put a thing in the tailpipe, get back in his car, and put the fucking hose,
In the
window. Like he was trying to kill himself.
Holy
right
shit.
The entire
right
crowd's looking out the window watching this happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's seen it all too.
You know,
man.
I reached out to Modo after after we had McCarthy on. I reached out to
Not
Modo
McCarthy,
on his
McDonald. We have McCarthy.
You're
right?
McCarthy from time.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You guys
at
look his, so much alike.
At,
so
his, looks, yeah. at his age, this happens.
Yeah,
the whiskey doesn't help.
Yeah,
that's why Mike gave up drinking.
No,
now you know why.
My liver.
An example. No, but now you fucked me up. Now I forgot what I was going
to
say.
You reach out to Modo after that.
I reached out to Modo, but I never heard back. I reached out to him on his website.
Yeah, he stopped doing comedy, right?
I think he's still around because he's got a website.
Where is he? He's not in Boston.
I don't know. No,
none of us would have run across him from that.
Yeah, he's not around. He's not in the New England area.
No.
Pretty much at all. So
I'm going to look him up while you guys talk. Go ahead. Fuckers.
Yeah, Mike Modo back in the day, Jimmy Smith. These are all the Comedy Connection guys when I started in 1987.
You started in 87. How old? Because you and I are
19.
Yeah, I was going to say, because 87, I was 18 turning 19, because we're basically the same age, man. Yep. You right out of the gates. You
walked out on stage in Tuesday, 1987, and I saw Tony V walk on stage at 9 o'clock, and he said, "Bear with me, I just got up." And I went, "I think I found my vocation."
Yes.
It's exactly the Tony V. If you tell him that, he'll go, "Don't fucking blame me for that, okay?" I'm taking no responsibility for McCarthy's career.
And I wish I could remember who said it. I was listening to a podcast recently, and this comedian goes, "I love these comics." I go, "I got into this because I just wanted to bring joy and laughter to people's life." Bullshit. I got into this because I didn't want to do fucking spreadsheets and count numbers.
I wanted pussy and free booze.
That's what he said. He goes, "I wanted to get up at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, go to a place where they let me have drinks for free, and do the easiest thing possible to make money." That's why I got into this
shit. I couldn't believe it. I watched it happen. I was like, well, I saw Richard Pryor Here and Now probably when I was like 15.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I was watching a horror movie upstairs, went downstairs and went, "What?" Came back the next day. I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
That I'm with you.
What the fuck is this? Is you can do this?
We're all kind of the same generation, and Pryor was the first one for me.
No question.
That I watched that, and I was Carlin like, "Holy shit! You could just walk out and talk like this." And
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Do
just
this
blew me the fuck away.
Yes,
and I was too young to be nervous, and my buddy Rosario was like, "You could do this." Well, like I said, we went and watched Tony on a Tuesday, mm-hmm. and a couple people. I remember my friend leaned over to me, and goes, "You're funnier than this motherfucker." And I was like, really? That was it. I got on I think it was a Sunday night. Billy Martin was the host.
Yep.
I broke the record for saying fuck in 4 minutes. He was like, that's not even going to be
quite an accomplishment.
He goes, "That record may never be broken."
Yeah.
See, I didn't know you could go to a place and sign up and do it.
Yep.
I thought these guys like Richard Pryor, someone just went up to him one day and said, "Hey, you're funny." And he got a tap on the shoulder and brought to a place where he could do it. I didn't know that there was this whole thing where you went out and
did it. I think people are getting it now, but I mean, like back then, people were just like,
well, we didn't have the internet to look this shit up and figure it out.
It's a different world, man.
Right,
imagine how easy it would have been.
Exactly.
Dude, how about GPS, Ace? GPS, right? Do you remember?
I
looking
remember.
Up
holy shit.
Going on map.
Having a map.
Calling LaFoe out in Pittsfield? What?
Yeah.
What? 2.5 hours away from home. He gave you the wrong directions. You got a fucking map and a flashlight.
Yeah,
oh, brother.
Back in like 92.
You just L, on the, You fucking kids.
L and 10. Okay, it's in this section right here.
Back in 92, when you go on your computer, or you go on your computer when it got sophisticated, you go to MapQuest.
Absolutely.
And you would put in the directions, and you would print them out.
That was huge.
And then you would fucking follow them.
That was huge.
That was the greatest thing ever.
Dude, that was like the discovery of the wheel, for God's sakes.
Where do I have some MapQuest? Where would I have it?
In your closet?
In that fucking closet. I probably still have a file with MapQuest things.
He is a pack rat.
I got more shit in that closet.
Dude. It changed our lives.
Yeah. That closet's a comedy history, by the way.
It actually
of course
is.
It is. My Ace has been around since I have. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Mike Moto is out in San Francisco.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That does. That makes sense. I can see him out there.
He's out in San Francisco. Wow.
Used to be a hotbed for comedy. I don't know what's doing now.
Yeah, I don't know. But look.
I know the city's a shithole.
But that's, he grew
still
his
looks
hair
good.
Out. Still looks good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Good for him.
Yeah. He looks more Native American than Asian.
Oh, you got to go with what's hip. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Yellowstone is big.
Yeah, yeah. If you're out west.
He looks young in those pictures.
Yeah, he certainly does. He still does.
He looks young.
I don't think he was ever much of a partier, you know what I mean?
No.
Those of us that look haggard. You know, after 35 years in the business, someone dropped that on me. I went down to one of my favorite places I taped a special down in Sarasota, Florida, at McCurdy's, and I walked in. You know, I'm all pumped up for the special, and the MC goes, a friend of mine, know me for a while, he goes, "You look haggard." I'm like, I've only been on the road for a week, dude. You know, I remember coming back. I passed out once, was on the road for 5 weeks with the Irish Comedy Tour.
Yeah. And
the next morning, I get up in a hotel. My wife had come to get me at the last gig. It was Showcase Live in Foxborough.
Yep.
And I got in the shower, and I fucking passed out.
Wow.
It was just too much booze, too much traveling, too much whatever, and stuff like that. Yeah, man, it's a great business, but it's tough on you. Again, that's one of the reasons I'm glad I'm off the road.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that. I forgot what I was going to say. I have so many things I was going to say while you guys
were
talking.
Are there edibles in this drink? What's going on there?
No.
Dude.
You guys know I picked up a second career.
Oh, yes, we know.
I am a threat management consultant at an alternative medical facility.
It's a nice, wow.
It's a nice way of saying I'm a security guard at a marijuana dispensary.
Yeah.
Our job is easy, dude? That's the easiest job in the world. People are like, "What do you do there?" I'm like, "I remind people on the way out where they parked."
Yeah.
That's it, dude.
But you know what it is? The reason for that is because it's an all-cash business. It's all.
Oh, not anymore. Right? No, we take cards.
Well, yeah, but not credit cards. Only debit.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
It has to be cash. You know why? Because
it's not federal.
Right. Because it's still against the law federally.
Oh, no. Look, I know more about weed than I've ever known in my entire life.
I've been doing
this for 2 years, man. I'm like, dude, it's dope, okay? It's an indica sativa with an oily base leaning. You'll feel relaxed. And so just give me the weed, okay? What the fuck are we doing here?
You listen, my son.
Yeah, but this weed is not the garbage weed we grew up on.
Oh, right. Dude, remember that shit? Those days are over, Rag, where you... Dude, you get anything? Yeah, emphysema. This is fucking shit.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Skunk weed back in the day.
Don't fuck around now,
I think I sucked in a burr.
Yeah.
Just fuck around now. You eat too much candy?
Mm.
You'll be in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Truce.
Be Costello.
My son, I think I told you this off
air. Yeah,
he's majoring in cannabis entrepreneurship. I have never seen this kid talk more enthusiastically about school.
Think marijuana would not make you focused.
Dude, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh my God.
He walks in. Scott goes, "Hey, Mike, how's school?" "Good, good. We learned how to extract the oils out of this without the chemical
process." Telling me the extraction process and how to put it. And I'm like, you lost me at extraction.
Dude, you know what he said? These hippies be knowing what's
up. Oh my God.
The bartender's at my place. Can we get a guy called Pot Yoda? I don't know what to tell you, man. The guy knows fucking
everything.
It's like
everything. Chung, right?
Yeah.
It's like Tommy Chung. My son literally said to me the other day, he goes, "Hey, I'm all caught up in my classes. You know, my one teacher or one professor that had marked him for a zero on something, they remembered that he didn't have to do that, blah, blah, blah." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "So I'm doing good." He goes, "And I got an A in cannabis studies." I go, "Well, there's a fucking surprise." It's the whole reason why you're in college, kid.
Now, Mike, true story. First time I ever tried edibles. A friend of mine that I knew at the time, he was up in Massachusetts, got a license to produce and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he gives me a tin of chocolate covered blueberries.
I love this story.
And he says, he goes, these kind help you really relax, man. He goes, they're really good. He goes, eat like one or two, see how they affect you. I said, all right, thanks. So I go up, work at Festine for the weekend, Friday, Saturday night.
So you get paid 6 months later.
It's not like that anymore.
You know what you call a Steen gig in the summertime?
Christmas money.
There you go. Now, Tom Dustin.
Tom Dustin told that joke. Now, this was Friday night. I was in Portland, Maine. Saturday night, I was doing a show in Manchester. Stay overnight. Now, do the show. Go over to the hotel. And I'm like wired because show went great. Had fun, you know. And I can't sleep. I'm like, oh, shit. Got those blueberries. Let me try them. So I eat two of them. I'm watching TV. Half hour goes by. I'm like, I don't feel shit.
Oops.
So I eat two more. Another like half hour goes by. I'm like, I don't even think these things work. So I eat four.
Ooh.
Another like 15, 20 minutes goes by. I'm like, I don't even think these things do anything. So I ate four more.
You're a thrill seeker, huh?
Fucking idiot.
Okay. So I've had 12 now in about an hour and 20 minutes. So I'm just watching TV. About an hour later,
Captain Cannabis came a knocking.
All of a sudden, I start sweating.
And it's that full body high.
I start sweating profusely. I got the windows open, the air conditioning on. I got one hand up on the wall, one foot on the floor, lying on the bed. My heart rate was like 300 beats a minute. I'm full on panic mode. So the next day, I call up Pete. I'm like, Pete, what the fuck? I said, I took some of these blueberries, man. I was in full panic attack. He goes, how many did you have? I tell him the story. He goes, you fucking idiot. I told you take two. I go, yeah, but they weren't working. He goes, how long did you wait? I tell him, he goes, takes up to like two and a half hours for them to take effect.
Yeah, man.
I'm like, you left that part out. You really need to include that.
It's an integral part of the story.
Yeah.
By the way, kids at home, very important information that I can pass on from the marijuana community. If you ever find yourself too high, odd, crack pepper, an actual peppercorn.
I heard
you crack
about
it
that.
In your mouth, and it will bring you back to baseline.
Really?
As crazy as that sounds.
I've never heard that before.
Does it bring you back to baseline just for like a couple of minutes?
No, or it literally takes
whatever, you
whatever the magic
out.
Is. I mean, I haven't had to do it, but
yeah.
It is corroborated by many, many people that I would trust with my marijuana.
So really? An actual peppercorn.
You can't just put pepper on your tongue. It's going to be actual peppercorn.
Peppercorn,
crack that
crack
meat.
It
it's going to be a little rough, but
yeah.
If you're freaking the fuck out.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Nice.
It's nice. I could have used
it's
a peppercorn
nice
that night.
Pete Costello I want
to
ask my son if they taught him that in school.
Right? I don't,
if that's a way.
Like I said, you know, Pot Yoda told me that, and everybody
antidote.
Else was like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Pot
like,
Yoda. Yeah.
Pot Yoda. Ryan Heap, he works at Baskin Fairhaven. Ask for him by name. He's the first time I went, he was my bud.
Freaking
tender.
Out you are.
So don't you open peppercorn you're having.
He was my first bud tender. I walked in, had no idea, never been to a dispensary, walked up. And I walk up and he goes, what are you looking for? And I go, I don't know.
I've
never,
yeah.
never been here before, whatever. And he goes, we're living in a great time, my brother. And I go, thank you. And he goes,
this
what
poor
you
guy has probably been waiting for 50 yeah. years for this shit to become legal,
yeah.
right?
He's like, he goes, so do you want to get kind of high or really high? I go, I want to get really high. He goes, you want to do shit or not do shit? I go, I don't want to do shit. And he looks at me, he goes, I see you have green eyes. Any chance you're left-handed? And I'm like, well, I throw righty and I hit lefty. He goes, I got you.
It's crazy.
Comes back with the fucking Cherry Garcia guitar pick gummies. Five
oh my
milligrams.
God.
Oh, my goodness. Fantastic.
First time I went to one of those places, I went to Cultivate in, I never say it right. Is it Leicester, Mass?
Leicester. Yeah.
Leicester, Leicester, whatever it's called. I go in there.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll have you talk to one of the bud specialists over here. I'm like, the what? The bud specialist over here.
Bud tenders.
Yeah, bud tenders. Yeah.
And they start asking the questions just like
yeah,
you
what
said.
What are you looking for?
What are you looking for? Next thing I know, I have this dark chocolate bar, and they're telling me, you know, each square is like 5 milligrams. And then the girl goes, oh, you know what you got to try? And she picks up a recipe card. She goes, makes great hot chocolate. She goes, this is how you make it with this, and you sip it. And she goes, it'll put you right to sleep. And she goes, have you ever tried? And I'm like, oh my God, I wanted to start crying.
Dude, it's a different world. Look at kids. They have ice cream. They have
yes.
ice cubes.
Yes.
I mean, anything in them, eye drops, you name it, they have it. They've thought of it. It's just
yeah.
incredible. It's amazing.
Yes. It's a whole different world now.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's amazing that what they can do for people that have chronic pain.
Yeah. A big part of it.
Sleep
now,
problems.
A lot of people give me shit. Like my wife's family is kind of like, you know, not really with me. They're like, oh, good, you've gone from being a comedian to now working at a drug factory.
But it's the same as that.
These people come in. If you can't sleep, and a lot of people have pain. Look, there are some people. There's some people that come in and say, I just want to get fucked up.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. But a lot of people come in, my back hurts, I can't sleep, I can't do this. It really is a thing. I have a medical card, we have a medical side.
Yeah.
It really is, it's legit great thing for a lot of people.
My wife has bad back pain. She had a nerve blocker done and all kinds of stuff, still dealt with it. My oldest daughter told her, you got to go with me one time. They probably can give you something that'll at least help you sleep through the night and everything like that. And they found some stuff that worked for her, so she can at least get a
CBD in there.
Exactly, help her get a good night's sleep. You know, so she's not in pain. She can get comfortable when she climbs a bed and everything like that. And it does work. But it's funny because like my mother goes, I can't believe you guys do drugs, Mom. This is not drugs.
This is not drugs. And
it grows out of the ground. Dandelions grow out of the ground outside of it.
You have no argument. You have no argument, grows out of the ground. And the funny thing is, I see, because I'm a security guard, I see some people come in, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. As my mother's...
But at least
85% of the people, I go to the gym at 6 o'clock in the morning, I shit you not, 85% of those people are on fucking weed.
But the difference is now, to the point that you guys brought up earlier, it's not the same shit from when we were in high school. This is like... quality grade
marijuana. Look, sativas to get you hyped up, and indicas get you calm the fuck down.
Yeah,
right.
And they do make you. I mean, I'm not a big flower guy.
Yeah,
I really enjoy. I used to be. I used to smoke, but now I enjoy the edibles. You know what I mean? I know where they get me and what I want out of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But there's some of these flowers that the difference, the way they make you feel. Mm-hmm. My buddy, when I first started working this, some guy goes, "I go, I got to go home and cut the lawn." He goes, I got something for you.
Yeah.
I was actually saying, yee-haw, as I was cutting the lawn in my ride. Yeah. I've never been happier. Well, I think I was on two wheels at one point. I go, what's the name of that? She's like, Donnie Burger. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. That should be called lawnmower.
I love people that are drinking alcohol going, that stuff is dangerous. Really?
Right. Well, and that's
way more destructive.
And that's what I was about to say. Think about it. Before Prohibition, before Reefer Madness in the 50s and all that, they used to use marijuana as a medicinal thing. And it was, it was regulated. And then all of a sudden, it became this bad thing.
It was a gateway drug.
Thought it was a gateway.
That's where my in-laws are at on the whole thing. They're just holy cow. I'm like,
you're literally referencing a film from the 1950s. What else do we believe from the 1950s?
Well, her parents are so bent out of shape.
Water fountains.
I'm like, listen, 3 out of your 6 kids get shit for me. Okay.
Right.
Just so that you know. Yeah. And not to get high. Okay, to sleep for pain, for stuff like that. They're not stoners, but they realize, you know what I mean? They're like,
they're not doing it because they want to go, hey, I think I want to get fucked up and drive around. No, it's for specific reasons.
Mike, you work at that marijuana place. Do you get a discount?
Yeah.
Now, why do you ask, my friend?
Have you ever gone on stage high?
Oh, a million times. Back in the day, not anymore.
Yeah.
No, back when I was touring down in Florida, I would go on stage in Florida. I'm working in Holiday Inns in Lakeland making $100. You get what you pay for. You get me at 75%.
True. I'm always, because I've gone on stage after a few drinks and fucked up my act a little bit. So I'm always afraid of going on under the influence of anything. So I don't even have a drink before I go on stage.
Yeah, no, I've never been too high. I've never been I went on stage once. On ecstasy, acid, marijuana, and the booze had no effect on me. I had taken all the drugs. In my defense, I had taken all of the drugs, and then the phone rang.
And then a peppercorn.
And they said, wish I had I known. Yeah. I don't think that helps with ecstasy.
Yeah,
and
they go,
it's a titty bar down the road, and it's literally 2 miles away.
Oh, my God.
And the guy comes.
On ecstasy?
The guy calls up, this guy, Mo. Great guy, one racist motherfucker I ever met. Dude, not all of us. No, stop. Yeah, but still, we're down something.
Right.
Mike, hey, listen, man. Another comedian is supposed to be here this week. His car fucked up. Just need you to come down here and do 10 minutes, man. I'll give you $300. And I'm like,
for 10 minutes?
Nothing has kicked in yet. I go,
okay.
Sure. Just before. Look. It's going to go bad anyways.
Yeah.
It's a titty bar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you're doing 10 minutes
as if they're like,
bar.
No, that guy wasn't funny. I'm like, but right before the curtains
open,
they played Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, Jesus.
And I fucking hit. And I fucking destroyed. I was so fucking laser focused. These dudes that were there to see Betty Lou Big Titties fucking were like, what the fuck is the energy coming off this maniac? And I'm just fucking rattling off my dirtiest shit and whatever. And I walked off stage, and a girl that I was dating knew that I was going to be there. I did, you know, she'd called, yeah. And they said, oh yeah, he's down at Club Juana in Orlando. And she came out and she's like, hey, how you doing? And I went, my buddy Dan, he goes, he can't stay. And we walked out the door, got back, shut the door, and all of a sudden we were melting crayons and doing all the right stuff. But it was crazy. One of the best experiences of my life.
Have you done other titty bar type gigs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've done... There was a guy down in... outside of Orlando, Altamont Springs, who wanted to turn his titty bar into a comedy club. Legit. Now, you
know... Sounds like a good idea.
Now, you know, gigs like that, if someone's going to be a complete and total moron and you can't talk them out of it, get in the first couple weeks.
Exactly.
You know
what I mean? Before they shut that shit down.
Don't have a titty bar guy go, listen, I got you in there in 2 months. You're like, no, you don't.
No.
Yeah, I might as well book that date now for something else.
It's like when you...
I got three words. Mickey's in Cumberland.
Yeah.
Did you ever do that?
No, I never did that one.
Why, they did comedy there?
Oh, yeah.
No, I did the Foxy Lady in... Not the Fox.
Oh,
the
one
Stoughton. Alex's in Stoughton.
Oh, Alex's, yeah.
And that's the only ones I've done in Massachusetts. And down in Florida, I did a bunch of them.
Yeah. Oh, you never did Mardi Gras in Springfield?
No.
Oh.
No, and I am the titty bar comedian. You know what I mean? When like people go, when there's a fucking dive bar or titty bar.
I was going to say, someone like you that could come out with that aggressive
energy. I do okay.
Is perfect for a place like
that. Yeah, I go, listen, I don't want to be up here either. Okay, but I got to pay my fucking cable bill. I know you guys want to watch tits. You have a fucking you have a choice. You listen to my dick jokes or I make fun of you. That's what's going to happen.
Those guys are amped up. They're pumped up. So someone like you that can come out can take control of that room.
Filthy, you
punch
know what
them
I mean?
In the
it's
face.
Be all
filthy.
Kinds of,
yeah.
That, so you don't think
probably went
you don't
okay,
think,
but
you don't think my St. Paul to the Corinthians joke would work?
No. Dude, I had no idea what I was getting into. First off, I was 5 years in. And they're like, all you got to do is 5 minutes before the first round of girls come out, another 5 minutes before the second round comes out, and that's it. You're done.
I wish I lived there when that happened.
5 minutes. It was, I almost walked out after the first five.
Yeah.
It's that these guys ate me alive. Alive.
You are the exact opposite of what they came to
see. What they
exactly.
The
they
exact
don't want to see
you. Hey, guys,
want
to go see some pussy? Man, maybe we see a dude. How about a guy comes walking up and tells jokes?
I hope there's some chubby guy come out telling jokes.
I don't
want to
see any good-looking women at this fucking nude establishment.
No. It was so...
I mean, I found a middle-aged comedian.
Granted, he's got bigger boobs than the girls, but...
Kit.
I'm at least one cup off.
But I'll tell you, that Club Juana in Orlando, they used to pay me $850 for 3 nights, and it was five minutes. 5 minutes, five minutes. And then on Saturdays, I would do a 10-minute set.
Yeah.
And the pussy!
Oh,
man. You were in the back room. Girls, titty dancers are nasty, man. I hung out in the dressing room. I was like,
wow. They love funny guys.
Wow, and they certainly do, right, man. I mean, I had did a lot of drugs and had a lot of fun. I'll never say a bad word about that club or about titty bars. I always had a good time. I got a limousine from one. And,
wow.
But yeah, like it's just not conducive.
Well, the first time I heard Tom Stewart talking about working at the Foxy Lady, I was like, oh my God, why would you do that to yourself? And then he goes, no, I'm the DJ there. That makes sense.
That's
makes
now, touch.
Coming to the main stage.
We'll turn this place into Busch Gardens, ladies and gentlemen. Amber on the main stage.
So we were talking earlier about you doing stuff, and I can't remember if you did it before or after, but it was me, you, and Brian Bowden at the when they had the Comedy Zone at the Showcase.
Oh yeah.
We did our show, and then I don't even remember what movie it was.
Green Lantern.
No,
that was somebody else to watch Green Lantern. We were the only three people.
It might have been. It might have been one of the Star Wars movies. It might have been one of the.
Yeah. We all watched it together.
We all watched it together, and you guys ate a few cookies and brownies.
Oh no doubt, that was fucking great.
And it was after the show, but
that was a good gig, man. Yeah, they took care of you there.
Yeah, they really did. I did that a couple times.
The Comedy Zone out of Charlotte, North Carolina, has a gig in Rhode Island with a hotel.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, a couple of weeks ago, he was away. He wasn't on, but do you remember Brian LaFontaine?
None ring a bell.
He was a Periwinkles guy.
Wow.
Open micer, started around the same time as us. Well, a little bit after you. But he's been, now he's down in North Carolina, And he's been on like Ozark. He's been on Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really cool. But he was actually talking about Comedy Zone. He goes, are you familiar with Comedy Zone? He goes, they're out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Yeah. And that's where he lives. And I'm like, dude, I worked for Comedy Zone. They used to have a room in Rhode Island for a hot minute. You know?
Charlotte is where they have their own club.
That's the actual physical they club.
That's the one
they
place
got,
they have
they
a club.
They got gigs everywhere, man. I think the closest one here is now in Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg.
It's a pretty good gig.
Is it?
Yeah, it's attached to a steakhouse, man. No, it's really, really, really...
It's a fun room.
Right down the street from Three Mile Island.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. It's really... It's a trippy place to visit and realize what happened. And it's a very, very good room.
And that Harrisburg room is a place that fills every time.
Yeah, they pack it up.
Did you do it? I did it twice.
Oh, wow.
You used to get free food. You used to get free big giant steaks, and it's kind of a divey hotel. That little middle courtyard is sketchy.
It's not like other clubs that have a sign that says you can order anything off the menu. No steaks.
Yeah. That's fucking...
Brouhaha.
Hartford.
The brouhaha.
Not the steaks. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You're not that funny.
Yeah.
Mac and cheese is okay, but the sirloin is for civilians.
Just don't order a steak.
Yeah.
That was new, because in the beginning you used to be able to get whatever you want.
And that's the thing.
It's always one asshole.
And Artie Fletcher down
in Florida, he was the number one guy. You'd go into a club the first week, get in there while getting's good. They're like, hey, Mr. McCartney, what's going on? Top shelf booze, give you whatever. You show up 4 weeks later, they're like, you get two drinks and it's well.
Yeah.
Thank Artie Fletcher.
Yeah.
I'm like, that motherfucker. Some people just take advantage.
That was like the hotel in Franconia Notch, that Mount Washington hotel that had the Japanese hot tub in the top of the spire and everything. You never did that one?
Was that Steen?
No, that was Dick Doherty's gig.
What? No, well, wasn't that the Grand Mountain Resort that was his?
Grand Mountain Resort and Spa.
Yeah.
And
I never worked that one either.
You'd get dinner, you'd get breakfast the next morning, you get a hotel room. I go up there with my wife, and you'd get a $40 credit to the spa, too, on top of it.
Dang.
So we'd go up there, but of course, some comedian went up there with their spouse, and they ran up a $400 spa bill. And just left without paying it, just charged it to the room. And the next thing you know, no more comedy.
It's not if, it's when.
Yep. No more comedy.
Somebody will fuck it up.
Some asshole will fuck it up.
Somebody will fuck it up. Like I said, that's why you get in there, we're getting good.
They literally, the room where they did the comedy, it was myself, Santarelli, and I forgot who the opener was. But literally.
Doesn't matter. Frank Santarelli was on the show.
They're here to see FSOTS.
What's wrong with you people?
What's wrong with you people? Hey. It was a great Santa. Continue, and then I'll tell you what's fucking.
But literally, the room where they had the comedy the night we were there, the back of this reception room, they had to open up the bifold doors and put extra seats into the bar area to fit everybody.
Wow.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
One, there's nothing else to do up there.
Yep.
You know, but the place was absolutely full. Crowd was great. This hotel, when they had the old style elevators with the.
With the elevator guy
metal,
in it?
Metal doors and the elevator. And when we're walking down the hall to our room, it felt like the Shining.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of places like that.
It felt like the Shining.
The joke joint in Minnesota. I was like, seriously, bro?
Yeah.
Seriously?
But it was a beautiful place. We had a great time and everything. Then I reached back out to get booked there again. They're like, oh, yeah, they stopped comedy. And then I found out why. And I'm like, motherfucker. I'm not going to out the person.
Tell us after air.
Yes, I'll tell you after we go off.
Yeah, Santarelli, it's so fucking funny.
What's wrong with you people?
You ever
heard of Queen Mary?
These chairs are yours. Take them home with you.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking great.
It's a special night here tonight.
It's a special night. These chairs, they're yours.
Every time I worked with him at the Kowloon, it's a special night here at the Chinese Ski Lodge.
I'm at the vault, and me, him, and Dick are in the back fucking yammering away. You know what I mean? Years of comedy experience, and there's some kid doing a guest set.
Yeah.
And I forget who he was. He goes up, and he does really good.
Yep.
And he comes in the back, and he's glowing. Just like you can just,
see
it.
Oh, he walks
He walks over to us, and Frank goes, I don't know what the fuck you think that was, but it wasn't comedy. That's not what we do around here.
Fucked with the kid.
The kid was broken.
Oh,
I mean, in
God.
An instant, he went from like standing on top of the world, like going, "Did you see that?" And Frank's like, "I don't know what the fuck that was."
Yeah.
But it wasn't comedy. That's not what we do around here.
I told you what Frank did to me. I've told the story on here a few times. I'm working with him at the Kowloon, and I was 5-6 years in, and I reached out to Ollie up in Portland.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A couple people told him about me, and he goes, yes.
Keith Lee. Wow, pulled that one out.
He said,
yeah. Oliver Keith.
Oliver Keith.
He said, send me a tape, back when you sent your press kit out, send me a tape so I can see you. And I said, all right. So I didn't have a good tape at that point, so I borrow a camera, and I set it up at the Kowloon. And we're doing two shows Saturday night, tape both shows. So Sunday, I'm watching. I watched the first set. First set was okay. They were serving food. Some people were loud. I'm watching the second set. Second show was fire. I mean, it was so good. I'm 5 minutes in, and already I feel like I'm going to get a standing ovation. I'm doing 20 minutes. About 7 minutes into the set, all of a sudden, in the middle of my screen, you see Santarelli's head come up into my camera. And he just goes, they're not buying any of this shit. And he just slowly slides back down, and he's gone. And I'm like, motherfucker.
I probably get you more work.
I told Ace, I'm thinking, do I cut that out? Do I trim it?
No.
I just sent it like that with him in it.
And you get work.
I got a call from Oliver. Oliver goes, dude, as soon as I saw Santarelli's face and heard him,
I knew it.
I was laughing so hard, but I figured if he likes you, you must be pretty good. And he booked me. And he got me in.
I
still have that tape.
Of course.
It's one of the funniest things that ever happened to me.
They're not buying any.
They're not buying any of this shit.
They're not buying any of this shit.
I got him. I didn't even try and get him, but we used to play softball together. Giggles, three-time three-time champion.
Three-time Boston Softball League
Boston
champion.
Boston Softball League champion. Mike McCarthy, three-time MVP. You're welcome. So we're doing we're playing the fucking game.
Not that anybody's counting her.
And,
he's bragging her.
No. I have the trophies if you need to see.
Yeah, exactly. Not that he has the trophies. In his trunk. It's not even at home.
So he comes over, and I'm taking a phone call. And he comes over, and he's like, Frank Santarelli, I lead the league in on-base percentage. I've got one hit.
Yeah, the way you say it.
I've walked 49 times.
They know I'm not
like
good.
Willie Stargell, my
they
eye.
They walk.
So he comes over. I'm on the phone. He goes, hey, this is pretty fucking serious stuff going on here. Not really time for a phone call. I look up, I go, my son's in the hospital. It's the only time I've ever seen him break character. He was like, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
I go, it's no big deal, dude. He's like, it's just whatever. I told you, he's not dead or anything like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, he's in the hospital or whatever. Kid, oh. I'm so sorry.
We had him on early on, like season two. And he came all the way down here. He's like, came all the way to Warwick, Rhode Island. He didn't even feed me, not even a meal. So we keep telling him we're going to get him back on and bring him out to dinner.
He's phenomenal.
How
he's
funny would that be?
What a great storyteller.
Yeah.
You no never doubt. Get sick of it either. You know, like there's some people where they're in the green room and they're trying to be funny and they're on.
Yeah.
But they're annoying. He's not annoying. He's just Frank. You could listen to him when he tells the story about auditioning for The Sopranos. He's like, yeah, the whole thing. I'm just, hello, hello, hello. And then that's it. That's all I had. I looked at the casting agents. I go, yeah, if I get this part, I'm going to need more lines. Dead silence. No one laughs.
Oh, good.
And then Georgette Walken. Christopher Walken's wife. She's the casting director. She laughs. The whole rest of the room fucking dies. I had him.
He could tell any. Yeah, right? I don't even remember how it goes. He's talking about him and Panette on the road, and he asks Panette if he likes ice cream.
I asked him about.
Do I like ice cream?
Yeah.
What do you think there, Frank?
I asked him about a specific story. I think he forgot there was a microphone in front of him.
Oh, my God.
He got up to tell the story. He's marching around the room.
Yeah.
He's going back. We're like, I don't know if we got any of this, but he's just.
It was one of the funniest stories because we're like, Frank, can you clear something up? Can you tell us, did you get comedy banned in Rockport, Massachusetts?
Do you know this story? He got it. They passed a town ordinance to ban comedy.
He goes,
within the town limits because of his show.
Actually, we said the wrong town. He goes, no. Rockport, Massachusetts.
We said Randolph.
Shithole.
And he told the whole story.
He tells the whole story. But in the middle of the story, he literally gets up. And he's like, I'm like, you know what? You fucking ruined the show for everyone here. I'll tell you what. I'm going out. You better not be back when I get back here. You better not be in that fucking
seat.
And
he walks out of the room.
And he goes, I walk out of the room. I walk in the kitchen.
He goes, I walk towards the door.
And walks across the room on the podcast. He's like, I go to the kitchen. So all the workers are in the kitchen staring at me. Like, what the fuck is
because
this?
Because there's no exit. Because
there's no exit. He thought he was walking out an exit. He walked into the kitchen.
He just got to come back.
And he's peeking through the window waiting for the people to leave so he can walk back out.
That's fucking great. He's a treasure.
Amazing. Oh my God. Him and Kenny Rogerson.
I'm seeing Kenny this weekend.
Kenny's another guy I could just listen to his stories forever.
Dude, when I was first starting, he was one of my absolute fucking favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know, when you start, you see somebody like that and you go, how is that possible? 45 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
45 minutes. Crushing. Absolute nonstop fucking laughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing that we all have right now.
Right.
You say, you know, when you started, what did you want? I wanted 45 minutes.
I wanted 45 minutes. 45 minutes. Of great
material. If you told
me
that, I'd be the happiest guy in the world. And now I'm like, I got 45 minutes to fucking rock that and Nick's Comedy Store. I want to see my name.
Right.
That's why I still do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have the mighty have fallen. They used to do 5 shows there on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And now they do 1 show and they kick you the fuck out.
Really?
I had people that want to take pictures with me and the staff is like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like,
really?
I'm like, because
they have the dance party coming in after.
Like,
right?
We want to make the real money.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. But I mean, and Kenny was one of my heroes. And early on, I was delivering luggage that was lost from the airport and I brought it to his house. Right behind Fenway Park, that little road behind Fenway Park.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it. His girlfriend, his wife at the time, beautiful English girl, answered the door, and I had his suitcase. And he came down, and I handed it to him, and I was like, there was gold in that. He was like, oh, my God, this is great. I need this. All my notebooks are in here. I'm like, what?
Wow.
I was just walking around with a fucking king's ransom
right?
of comedic genius. And then I found that it's weird. You get to know the guy.
Yeah.
I looked at him
as this
just
amazing
going,
person, and then you realize he's just a fucking normal, down-to-earth
guy. Next thing I know, he's throwing his bat in the fucking Charles River after he makes an out. I'm like, hey, Kenny, brother, that's a $300 bat, Ken.
You told me that
story. Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, so some people took comedy softball a little seriously, kid. The Clark Brothers, Kenny, you know. Well, everyone made fun of us when we first started.
Yeah.
Because Mike drafted as if he was drafted. Comedically, we're the most talented team in the league.
Yeah.
He took Tony V with his first choice.
He didn't give a shit.
Comedically, that's a very solid number one.
Oh, yeah.
Softball wise.
Right, exactly. You know he didn't give a shit about your playing ability. Exactly. It was all comedically.
We were getting our ass kicked 21 to nothing, and we're going, just walking by, and Kenny's going, okay, not on network TV? Not on network TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Not on network TV.
Exactly.
Not on network TV.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But I'm like, dude, we're getting our ass kicked. And then so once we did straighten it all up, we kind of rubbed it in everyone's face.
You know, it's funny when you talk about when you started what you wanted to be. Did you see HBO when they did that show Talking Funny? And it was Louis C.K., Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, and Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Yep.
And they just talked about comedy.
Yep.
And it was really well done. Jerry Seinfeld asked each of the guys, when you started in comedy, what did you think you wanted to be? And none of them said, I wanted to be rich or I wanted to be famous. Not a single one of them.
Yeah.
And Louis said, he goes, I was in Boston and there were these guys, and he named Don Gavin as one of the guys.
Ooh.
And he goes, I just saw these guys that could walk out on a stage and just absolutely command an entire audience and make them laugh, and I just said, I want to be one of those guys.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted, was just to be one of those guys. And Jerry goes, that's why you're successful, because you just wanted to be one of those guys.
You didn't do it for the money, you didn't do it for the fame, you did
right.
it. And that's what I was saying earlier tonight. I
right.
get to do the same
yep
fucking job. We all get to do the same job that Bill Burr and Dane Cook and Gary Goldman and all those guys do. It's just on a smaller scale.
Hey,
that's fine.
Bottom line is this. Boston's the best place, and we are household names in the Boston comedy community.
Yeah.
If I told you that 35 years ago, you'd be like, okay.
That's fine.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
If like everybody knows me, if when Lenny sees me, comes running over and gives me a hug, yeah. You fucking shit, my head would explode.
Right, exactly.
I'd be like, you fucking shitting me?
When, oh,
hey. I wouldn't even, the first time I saw him, was
Mr. A couple of months ago, when we got invited to that Boston comedy reunion from the 90s, and I was honored because, yes, I was invited. Yes, at that time I was in the Boston scene, but I haven't been in the Boston scene in a while. So to be there and have Lenny come up and photobomb one of my pictures and go, I want to get in on this, you know, and just seeing, and what made me feel even better, and this isn't a slight on anyone, but what made me feel better is some of the newer guys from Boston who don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing guys like you, guys like Lenny, guys like Paul D'Angelo,
right?
Fucking Todd Parker come up to me and hug me, and Bob.
Yeah,
Keane,
you were there, bro.
You know what I mean? It made me feel good because it made. I hate to say it, you know, being from Rhode Island, there's always that complex. Of
yeah,
the,
I know. No, you guys, you really, know? You guys really. Hey, I was lucky enough. Smartest thing, I saw Tommy Carter at Stitch's Comedy Hell.
Yeah,
and I thought he's really funny. I talked to him. He's like, "Well, yeah, there's a place Wednesday and Thursday, in Providence. If you want to drive?" And nobody else would fucking drive down.
Right. To
it would be me. Bobby would go. Joey would go. Greg Fitzsimmons would go. Steve Hurley. Rich Gustis.
Yep.
But
we had Jonathan Groff on a couple of months ago. Remember Jonathan?
Yeah,
Groff?
Yeah. Nancy Monroe.
Yep.
But very few Boston comics were willing to make the fucking ride because, well, let's face it. Boston comedy between, like, I would say 82, 83, before we started,
yep,
all the way to, like, maybe 91, 92. When did the bubble pop? But it was fucking magic.
Everything was, yeah.
It was at the
That's
best.
Where you wanted to go.
It's one of those arguments. Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time? Do the best comics come out of Boston? Case closed, the end.
Right.
You have no argument to stand on. Besides Chappelle, name me somebody else. You know what I mean?
Right.
And for anybody that's listening right now, if you want to see a great documentary, When Stand Up Stood Out.
Fran Solomita, yep.
Fran Solomita
made. I
reached
out to him to try and get him on
and
here, too.
And he talks about that golden era that you just talked about.
Oh, my goodness.
When the comedy boom, as we call it, in Boston happened. And, you know, Lenny tells a great story about one night doing 9 shows in one night on a Friday night, how he would open up this show at this club, go across the street, middle at this club, and then go over to this other club and close the show, stay there, open up the next show, and just all night long.
Oh, yeah.
Just running all over the place.
Somebody driving around.
And they would pack every show.
It was
every club.
It was the thing. You know why? Because everybody was a killer. Like,
yes.
We're talking about people that shouldn't be doing shows on weekends.
Yeah.
People that are doing it 2-3 years or whatever and stuff. And
right.
You go out and you see a shit show and you go, why would I do that?
And that's like when I started.
And that's the thing that we've been talking about that really kind of, I don't want to sound like
an old
a
man.
Holier than thou old man.
But we didn't do it. There was someone there
but
to put on the
old
place.
Man. Yes.
Okay?
But
when
you
something.
See,
when I started in Boston, if you pulled any shit like that, fuck, you would be told.
Oh,
you would not
that's
get
the
work.
Thing.
And someone would come up to you and go, kid, what the fuck do you think you're doing?
Especially,
wait in line.
Listen, it's one thing if you're booking a showcase show for $10.
Yeah, Thursday night, Sunday
right.
night, no problem.
But when you're booking a Friday or a Saturday and you're charging $20 to $25 and your headliner is someone who barely features at a club.
Dude, you fucking it's you
You're
can't you can't ignore the
comedy.
Science is real.
I started in 2002, way after you guys. You know, doing it on a regular basis.
Don't you forget it.
No, I definitely but even then, my first time on stage, Mike, was Noxie's Monday night at the Connection Faneuil Hall.
I'm fucking too old.
Yes.
My look fucking liver's hanging
you
on my ass.
Fucking young guys. Look at you. How's your cock? How's your cock?
That's Captain Cocaine.
Yes.
I'll drive this whole fucking bar home. I'd love to fuck you right now, but I can't find my penis.
Da 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 da.
You're fucked.
And we go there.
Where are you going tonight? Jail, I expect.
Yes.
I walk in this place, and we drew numbers, and I drew number 1. And he goes out and does 15 minutes of the funniest shit I've ever seen. The room, 100 people in this room are fucking dying laughing. For all they see, I almost just left and said, all right, this really isn't for me. Yeah. This really isn't for me. I wanted to try it, but no, I'm good. I'm good. But I did it anyway.
Yep.
I had to try it. And, you know, it was just... And anytime I'd go to Faneuil Hall, you always had guys like him hosting the fucking show. And I'm like, why is this guy a host? But that's how they did it.
Yeah, hey, listen, and you're right. By fire.
Those guys would keep you in check. If a guy had too much of an ego, he would go up on stage before he brought that guy up on stage fucking destroy the room and then give him a very bad intro and just guy right in his fucking place.
If it wasn't for Kevin Knox, I would not be doing comedy, man. He's one of the classiest, the coolest.
He was so nice to me.
Anyone's ever so done nice comedy. When I moved down to Florida for the first time and I came back, and all my family, I'd been gone for a while, and I was at the Kowloon, and he was the headliner. And all my family, my wife was there, like a ton of my friends. And he goes, all right, I'm going to host. And I'm like, what? You're supposed to headline.
Yeah.
He goes, no, I'm going to host. And so he fucking hosts, brings up, I'm featuring, brings up the first act. They do okay. He goes up, goes light, you know what I mean? Fucking takes it, and then fucking pumps me up with this fucking amazing, because my friends, when I first started, my friends would go, is Kevin Knox hosting? Well, we don't want to see you, but is he going to be the guy of this fucking, can we see that crazy motherfucker? Dude, it was the sweetest, nice, because when he said it, I was like, oh God, I got to follow. He just fucking paved the fucking thing and just let me go up there and afterwards, so good to have him back, whatever. I was fucking amazing, dude. Right. I was floating on air. Not too many people would do that shit.
No, absolutely. That's what was great about Kevin.
That first night on stage, Cal Verducci. Cal Verducci helped me get my start in Boston. He would tell me who to call, when, everything like that. He introduced me to Joey to get me in at the Connection.
Uh-huh.
And I booked that Monday
night. Joey Sanigan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm a better softball player than he is.
So I
booked, three-time MVP.
I booked my Monday night. Cal shows up to video me. So we're sitting in the back of the room. Here comes Kevin walking in. And Cal says, you know, this is my buddy Scott. He's doing comedy. I've been trying to get him up on stage for a while now. He's a very funny guy. Tried it in college, but then never went back to it. But, you know, I'm excited that he's here tonight. And Kevin, I can't do the Kevin impression like you can, but he's like, oh, we're going to have fun tonight, buddy. We're going to do when are you going on? I said, well, I drew number one. He goes, oh, don't worry. I'll get him going for you and everything. And, of course, like I said, he just annihilates the room. And they just bring me up. But when he introed me, and I still have this on tape, too, he goes, this is open mic night. And he did it. His intro that he normally did, where you might see the next Chris Rock, you might see the next Jerry Seinfeld, or you might see a human being
burst into flames.
Burst into flames. Yeah. But you're gonna get your money's worth.
You never fucking know.
He goes, but this first guy coming to the stage, he's not a regular open mic comic. He's an old friend of ours. We've been trying to get him back on stage for years, and we got him here tonight. And we're so excited. You're gonna love him. Put your hands. They liked me before I even stepped on that stage.
So many douchebags in this world, dude.
Yep.
I was down in Boca Raton. There's a place called it's called Boca Nuts at the time, and Kevin was down there towards the end. He was getting some treatment down there.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he used to go down there for a lot of treatments. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was headlining the club. So, and the owner, because Kevin had come by a couple times, and the owner of the club asked me, he goes, Boston, right? I go, yeah. He goes, you ever hear this guy, Kevin Knox, is he any good? I go,
are you fucking kidding me?
What did you say? Yes. He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, he bopped by. He left a message, and he said he's a comic, and he'd like to do some time while he's down here. Do you know who he is? I go, dude, that guy is six times the comic I'll ever be in my entire. His face was like, oh, why didn't he bother me? Why didn't he, you know? Well, how come? I'm like.
Because he doesn't need to.
Because he doesn't. He just wanted to swing by and do whatever.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there the next night, and it's Saturday, and I'm waiting to go on stage, and I hear this fucking voice behind me go, I remember you when you were fucking young. And I turn around and fucking Kevin Knox is there, dude. He got to see me headline a real club down in fucking Boca.
Wow.
And he was like, you tell these cocksuckers, I'm like, dude, I mean, and he was, you know, he worked there whenever he wanted after that, but I got to recommend him. And then who's the fucking dude? I can't. He asked me for a recommendation on Mike Donovan. He had some questions.
Oh, really?
Questions about Mike. He goes, I laughed. I cracked up.
Yeah,
and he's
right.
like, that means he's good. I'm like, that means you're an idiot.
That means you're an idiot.
That's it. How long have you been doing this? You don't know who Mike Donovan is? Yeah, he's an absolute Holy slayer shit. Kid. He goes, well, I don't know. I hired him, but he's sitting over in the corner reading a book. He seems quiet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait until he gets on stage. Yeah.
Don't judge a book by its cover, man. No. That's one of, he belongs on Mount Rushmore without question, man. Unbelievable. No,
one but of the greatest inducted, writers ever.
No question.
Who just inducted
with
him?
With a memory
the,
like a fucking
Awards.
Elephant.
Sweeney. Sweeney. Yeah. We were at the Boston Comedy Awards because the podcast was nominated somehow.
At the Boston Comedy Choice Awards.
Yeah, the Comedy Choice Awards.
He got, the, got the Legacy Award.
Lifetime Achievement Award.
Sweeney inducted him on stage, but they had a video montage of people talking about Donovan.
Stephen
Bobcat Goldthwait. Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
Slayer. Tony V.
Right.
It's too bad Johnny Most isn't around anymore.
Yeah, I know.
I fell off my fucking seat the first time I saw that. I could not. Do you have
a
gun?
So
I have a gun.
He's peddling. He's peddling. Oh, my God.
Magic Johnson has stabbed Larry Bird in the ass. Larry Bird is dead. He's still going to shoot the free throws.
He's still going to shoot the free throws.
Oh,
and
kid, the
him.
First time I saw that, I was like, on the floor going, this can't be true. This guy can't sound this much like Johnny Most and be this fucking funny. Yeah.
And be how fucking smart that he's written 100 fucking history.
Over 100 really, books he's written now.
Savant. It's crazy, right?
Absolute savant. Hey, do you know this guy, Mike Donovan?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah,
how about I ask you, have you ever heard of Bill Cosby or Richard Pryor?
Here's my question. He's going on before me?
Yeah.
We're a little spoiled, though, because of being in this scene.
Right.
You see
no
these
question.
Brilliant
When I first moved down to Florida,
like this,
dude, I was like, you got to be shitting me.
Yeah.
You got. I mean, now Florida has changed. I will
it's
say that for a
than
fact.
It used to be. Yes.
There's no question. But I mean, like you know, when I first went down there, I was like, I would do shows. That's what they roasted me, like when I left.
Yeah.
And I'm not a roast guy.
Yeah.
And I'd never done anything like that. Boy, it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It
and
is
the thing
fun.
Is, they really kind of kept the gloves on.
Oh, really?
And at the end, I was like, ooh, wow, I really wrote some.
Some gnarly
these
shit.
Guys, these guys are like, Mike drinks too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like,
he doesn't go to church Sunday.
I'm like, this guy has syphilis. He fucked a midget in the ass. You know what I mean? I'm like,
right. You're going, yeah.
I'm like, wait, hey, I'm sorry. I thought we were going heavy.
You're at a one. You're at an 11.
You guys
right.
forced me to do this shit, but one of my lines was, you guys should call me Mariano Rivera. I've saved so many fucking shows down here. Jesus Christ.
Well, listen.
You know, you make it like instead of having to be a big fish in a little, fish in a little pond.
Yeah.
I could fucking be drunk, stoned, and still be a fucking
Marlin
a fucking
in this
Meg
place. Yeah.
In this fucking pond with you people. I mean, the talent down there, when I first moved, like a couple people, no doubt. But some of the shows that were booked, you come from here.
I've told the story before on here. My sister moved to Fort Myers years and years ago. And I was going down for a visit. My nephew was graduating high school. And I was like, you know, I said to my sister, I go, Diane, where's a comedy club? She goes, we want to see you when you're down here.
Laughing.
Well, at the time, what was the place at the Edison Mall?
Oh, shit. Dr. Al's?
Dr. Al was in Sanibel Island.
Okay, yeah.
That was the Sanibel
Island
Comedy Club.
Do you fucking Dr. Al's comedy?
Yeah.
What?
Wait, so okay. So there was a place in the Edison Mall.
Wow.
I won't mention the guy's name, but I will tell you after the show. So my sister tells me about this club. I'm like, okay, get me the address. This is how long ago it was. I send my fucking video cassette and my bio and my headshot and my whole press kit. And I sent it two or three times.
I love press kits.
Yeah.
I love when we talk about it. Nowadays, you just shoot an email out. Back then, we used to have to pack all that shit up.
Right?
Kenny Rogerson was handing out cassettes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I send it down. I don't hear anything back. My sister goes, do you have a spot? I go, no, I haven't heard anything back. All right, I'll send another one. I send another one. Nothing. June, I go down. While I'm down there, my sister goes, you know, there's a place on Sanibel Island called the Sanibel Island Comedy Club. Why don't you call there? Maybe you can get in there. So I call. Dr. Al owned the club, but he didn't book it. It was another guy that booked it. I can't remember the guy's name.
That was a hazy weekend. Yeah. Holy shit. Not Sanibel Island. Dr. Al's coming. What?
Right? So,
wow.
So I reach out while I'm down there and I go, hey, I'm a comic from Rhode Island. I said Boston. I said, I'm a comic from Boston. I'm in town. I tried to get in at whatever comedy club. They never even got back to me. but I'd love to get a guest spot. No problem. Come on down. We'd love to have you. I go up. I do my 10 minutes. I do a guest set. The feature is the guy that books the other comedy club that ignored me for months. And when I tell you, Mike, he did.
Is he redheaded?
Yes. R.A.?
I think that's it.
All right. I'll tell you after. But I literally watched this guy do the fucking Gilligan's Island joke of they can't fix a hole in the boat, but they can fucking recharge batteries.
Coconuts. Yeah,
coconuts. Yeah. Make a phone out of coconuts. And I'm livid going, this motherfucker is the reason why I'm not playing the big comedy club because of this. And Lou Angelwolf was the headliner
that
night.
Angelwolf, yep.
And I fucking love Lou because he was awesome.
Yep.
He was so nice. And after the show.
Just hugs.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
After the show, the feature slash booker from the other club was like, oh my God, you're so funny, man. You should let me know when you're down here. I go, I did let you know. I sent you 3 fucking press kits and never heard back from you. And he was like, oh man, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even know. And I asked Lou, I said, what? Because I worked down, Mary Ellen had me down there last year.
Okay.
And Lou was on one of the shows. And I was like, man, it's so awesome to work with you for real. Yep. And blah, blah, blah. And, he was like, I said, what the fuck ever happened to this guy? He goes, oh, he's a really nice guy. He goes, but not, you know, he's out of comedy now. And I go, well, he should be. And I told him the story. I was so livid because I went into that comedy club.
But I saw
during the day, I went into the comedy club and I saw your picture and Mike Pettit's picture because Mike was down there at the time. And I'm like, what the fuck? How come I can't get into this club for even a guest set?
Yeah, but that guy's on Cameo now.
Yeah, probably. Because everyone's on Cameo.
Yep.
Except for people who should be.
Dude, I did a guest set at Bonkers in Orlando when I first moved down to Florida. I dropped off my girlfriend.
Now I'm doing it neat, you motherfucker.
I dropped off my girlfriend, future wife, at the airport in Tampa, and I drove to Orlando to do a guest set at Bonkers in Altamont Springs.
Yep.
7-minute guest set. Guy took me upstairs, gave me $6,000 worth of work.
Wow.
That's
Holy
the difference
shit.
Between Boston and... First off...
So when I retire from my day job and I move to Florida... I got a career.
It's different now.
Well, no, like I said, no, there's some legit comics. But when
I've heard so much about McCurdy. In fact, Lou was saying he was doing stuff at McCurdy's.
Last time I was there, Lou was my feature.
It's an amazing fucking place.
And the only reason I worked there, because it is one of the most difficult clubs. Mm-hmm. They use huge A-list headliners because when Les McCurdy left Coconuts, which was the chain that Bob Shoemaker used to run.
Yeah.
He moved over the bridge to Sarasota. They were running a club there. They decided to part ways, and they tried to continue, and they called it McCurdy's Comedy Club. Well, they started at a Chinese restaurant in the back. Then they moved to a soup kitchen, and your man, Mike McCarthy, was there in the beginning helping Les out, moving chairs, doing whatever.
Before it became the big, nice theater that it is now.
Mike. I've known, Pam and I have known you since, well, it's got to be like 1989.
Yeah.
So people like, can you get me in McCurdy's? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
They're like, legit.
I've heard amazing
things
about it.
They're like, legit, why the fuck are you in there? I'm like, oh, you know, because I've known Les for 35 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what I mean? We've always gotten along, but it is arguably, that's where I take my special.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned it earlier.
Arguably the best comedy club in the country. It's called McCurdy's Comedy Theater. There's a condo across the street. I was down there 2 years ago in December, and his wife came and changed the sheets to Santa Claus because she knew I was homesick.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
I'm telling you, dude, like, no club can beat McCurdy's. It is without question.
That's awesome.
It's just phenomenal. Last time I was there, I was with the time before, Large Lou, man. It's just a great environment. The staff is fantastic. It's my favorite
club.
It really is. Yeah, no doubt.
Well, I'm not looking to get into McCurdy's, but if you can help me get into other places down there.
Listen, Florida's got a lot more gigs, man.
I know.
All the people I talk to, there's a new one in Sanford. There's a new one in Daytona. There's more in Orlando.
St. Pete. Do they do one in St. Pete?
That's gone. It used to be Coconuts. That finally died out.
Really?
Tradewinds. That was a great gig.
Yeah.
That was a great. They moved across the street to a great room, and it just It just died. It was a real...
It's like a steakhouse or something across the street.
The guy who owned the place next door was a crazy Boston fucker. Like a crazy...
Oh, really?
I went to a Pats game with him. Like, he fucking... Hello.
Yeah.
Like nuts. But Shu is no longer there, and someone else has taken over. But apparently it's thriving in Tampa because it's a pretty good area.
Oh, yeah.
Plus there's Side Splitters whose owner was... Who used to be a pain in the ass. Now it's somebody else who's cool. There's the Improv, which they may have changed to the Funny Bone.
Yeah.
But that's a quality club. Now, there's a lot of good clubs in Florida and a lot of good comics in Florida.
Yeah. Well, my goal, and I've talked about this. In fact, who was it? Al Romas that got
pissed
off?
Al Romas. Al Romas. Al will compare against any. He was just on the Icon of the Seas, dude.
Yes.
I know. But Yankee, Al, I told Al
One of my
that,
favorite Yankee fans.
I told Al that. When I retire from my day job, I want to move to the West Coast of Florida, and I want to do gigs down there and cruise ships. He goes, yeah, great. Your retirement plan is my job. Like, sorry, buddy, but that's what I want to do.
Well, listen, man.
You chase the dream early. I'm going to chase the dream after I've retired.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with Florida. I mean, they dragged me out of there kicking and screaming. I left Florida. Look, man, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to toot my own horn, but I'm in the top 10 phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
If you find something up here, I don't know, man. You know, I'm 30 something. You know, there's a whole bunch of people that are funnier and have credits and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Florida,
down
man,
in Florida,
I never,
still a big...
never hurt for work.
Yeah.
Never hurt for work. You know, but up here, there's just too many and not as many clubs.
Yeah.
You know? Plus, it's a transient audience down there. You can, you know...
You're never going to get the same audience. So someone could book you... Once a month, you're never going to have the same audience.
Exactly.
Right.
I did Universal Studios sometimes twice a month.
Wow.
Yeah, it was fantastic, man.
Isn't there a club in Disney Springs?
What's that?
Or there used to be a club in Disney Springs?
Altamont Springs.
No, Disney, like in
They
Disney.
Never had a comedy club at Disney Springs.
Universal was pretty restrictive. You couldn't say fuck, but you could say everything else.
Really?
I was so nervous.
Universal? The only thing Disney has...
Oh, City Walk? Yeah. What club?
I forget which one it was then, but I don't know. I mean, it's been gone for a while. It ran for a good 4 or 5 years, man. And like I said, it was so cool because it was you drive underneath it. There was a secret way to go.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, I got in with the secret. Fucking security team and whatever. They were like, so I would pull off the highway underneath. Then you take an elevator right to the green room.
Wow.
The key is you'd have to walk off stage and get in that elevator and get downstairs because they would try and move chairs.
Yeah.
But if you did that, and there was no traffic, I could make it from my house in on Madeira Beach to Universal Studios, early show, 7 o'clock, and I would be back in my bed by fucking 10 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the balls, man.
Yeah, Disney, the only thing they have is on the boardwalk, they have Jelly Rolls, the dueling piano bar.
But they used to have a comedy club
they didn't.
In Disney Springs.
No.
I'm telling you, up until like 3 years ago, I used to be there. I mean, I'd not be there playing it. But I'd go there, and there would be a comedy club.
I don't know.
I'm telling you. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
I love how smug he
is.
This
is adorable.
Yeah. I love how smug he is.
So I've looked it up before to see if they had something there.
They did.
But now, I think Orlando has a couple more. Well, Florida's... dude, that's my plan, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm done. Fucking, this is my last winter.
Listen,
it's got to be, man.
I will open up for you down there.
But, dude, Mary Ellen's down there. You know
I
what
know.
I mean? We should.
Yeah.
Is there a Funny for Funds down in...
There is Funny for Funds there.
Fort Myers?
There's a new one in Fort Myers. A guy down there. I forgot his name. Tim?
Not Tim Wilkins.
No, I forgot his name. But he opened one in Fort Lauderdale. I think there's one in Claremont. Not Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, I'm trying to get down.
Fort Myers.
Yeah, Lauderdale, I'm not sure what they have.
My goal is to move to Northport, just outside of...
Oh, I know exactly where it is.
Just outside of, like, Port Charlotte, that area.
Yeah.
I want to open
up... It's a nice one in Port Charlotte, the Comedy Zone.
I want to open up
Funny
for Funds
comedy
there.
Club there.
Oh, best
and I
food
go
in
the there.
Best
really?
Food in the industry, hands down, case closed. Yeah. Their T-bone steak is amazing. We were there for St. Patrick's Day. Best corned beef and cabbage.
It's really like having Mike Murray on the podcast.
I know. Yeah.
They fed the comics.
They fed the comics. It was awesome.
Best club ever. Comics.
That's how Murray judges a bad gig. Dude, this gig sucked so bad. They had this big buffet table right in front of the stage. Didn't even feed the comics. It was horrible. Horrible.
How was the audience? No, I had a great set, but they didn't feed the comics.
I had a great set, but I give it a 2 out of 10 because they didn't feed the comics. And what was worse was they put the food.
Heard your Mike Murray before.
They put the food in front of the comics. It's one thing if you put it in the back room and no one sees it. You put it in front of the comics and don't offer it. That's a two.
That's fucking brilliant. He's not even
fucking
that far off.
Brilliant. Absolutely fucking brilliant. Oh, you kidding me? I forget where the fuck I was. I call him up. I go, hey, I'm doing a gig for him. I go, hey, one of these fucking goofball wiener places.
Is
around the corner. I go, I have no fucking idea what you're jacking off to on Facebook. I go, but there's a wiener place around the corner. And he goes, which one is it? And I tell him, he goes, no.
No, that's, no.
He goes, no.
You don't want to go to that one. You want to go to
New York City.
Systems.
I called ahead.
In Providence.
The owner meets me at the door.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, absolutely. With a bag and
No. We sit down with him. And he tells me exactly what I'm getting and exactly the fucking owner waiting for me.
Yep.
When I show up, he goes, no.
Mike told me you were coming. I got three all the way.
Yeah, three all the way with some coffee milk.
Fries and coffee
milk.
I go,
I don't drink coffee
already.
Milk. He goes, you have to have coffee milk with this.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Oh, you went to New York System then?
Yeah. Oh, of course. No, I went where Mike goes.
Yeah.
No.
If you wait.
He's very inside. I go, I don't know what these jack-off wiener things is.
Important you know question. What I mean? Was it Route 2 in Cranston or was it Atwells Avenue, Smith Street in
Olneyville?
No, it was the one he told me to go to.
Yeah, whatever one he told you, yeah. Because he's friends with both owners.
You ready? That's the thing. This was a mistake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to get home from the gig.
Yeah.
And now I got a 20-minute detour.
You have an assignment.
20-minute detour. And I don't
to
really.
Find a bathroom.
I already know I don't really like wieners. You know what I mean? I'm like.
Too bad.
Too bad. You can't. He's a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. I open this can of worms.
Yes.
And he's like,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you where you're going to go. And I'm like, I'm kind of a Hebrew National guy. I'm like a fucking steam bun.
He's
like, the celery salt. I don't really like celery.
No, too bad.
Don't like coffee milk.
Nope.
So, yeah, I just sit there and fucking murder three hot dogs.
Yep.
So I didn't look like an asshole in front of the owner's staring me down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, these are fantastic.
Yeah, and then you get to Fairhaven, you got to shit your pants and find a McDonald's bathroom.
Now that's where we should wrap this up.
But dude,
now, shitting your pants in Fairhaven.
Yeah. That's the name of the episode. Mike McCarthy, I shit my pants
in Fairhaven.
Yeah. Oh, man. Wait, this was so much fun getting
time
you back
flies
on,
when you're
man.
Having fun, baby.
It's so now, crazy. I
Mike, what can we promote for you?
St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, what do you got going
baby.
On?
Busy weekend. I'm going to be at the Off Cabot. Up in Beverly, John
Tolles
presents.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Doing shows Friday and Saturday. And then on Patty's Day, I got three shows.
Wow.
Coming off the wagon, too. All right. That should be interesting. I got a chauffeur.
Where?
That's why he's training his liver right
where?
Now.
Where?
Day one, first show will be at Pub 65 in New Bedford.
New
Have you guys
Bedford?
Been there for
yes.
Tommy Stewart?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. A long time ago, I was
they're
there.
They're doing a 1 o'clock show. They called me up. I'm like, all right. And then at 4, I will be at the Moose Lodge. In New Bedford.
All right.
And then finishing up at the Comedy Connection, 7 o'clock.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. That one I got Greg Murphy, and Dave Sinclair's with me all day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, Dave's a great guy.
Oh, he's great. He's going to wear the kilt.
Oh,
yeah. We've done the past
kilts?
Couple of St. Patrick's Days.
Oh, great. Wear his kilt with you.
Yeah, he's Scottish. He goes, there's not much difference. You know, it's just they drink less and the food's shittier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the only difference between Scotland.
But they got great booze.
Scottish people are just Irish, really drunk.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I went to Scotland is someone went, hey. You make fuck. Come follow me. I'll show you where the weather's worse.
It's way shittier. Fucking love it.
That's
it's
awesome.
So yeah, that's what I'm really trying to push is the surviving St. Patrick's Day. Like I said, this weekend I'll be up in Lebanon. I'm doing Alcoholics Anonymous events at some civic center for Poppy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
With Doug Key.
Oh, Doug Key?
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. It's going to be a good idea. Well, glad I checked on that one. She's like, she goes, AA. And I went, Alcoholics Anonymous? She's like, yes. Thanks for noticing. I'm like, no. I'm glad I had that.
That's good. That's because
yeah.
I'm dry
I'm
right
like,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
No.
Yeah. No, but this is this episode will come out more closer to St. Patty's Day, so
yeah,
we really want
to,
folks. If you
be that much, I'll be that much closer to drinking.
If you are in anywhere near South Coast, What do they call southeastern Massachusetts?
South Coast, yeah. You
South
know,
Coast, Fall Bedford, River, Fall New Bedford. River.
TheComedyBarbarian.com. I actually have my my website is
Your
all
website's
working.
Website's up?
You
Perfect.
Can click on there, go to TikTok, see my dumb dad jokes and me jumping in the ocean every day.
That's awesome.
All that goofy
I
shit.
I see that.
And I will put his website in today's show notes. So if you're listening, go to the show notes and you will find his website.
Yeah, right baby. There.
Seriously, if you can't make any of the New Bedford show, the Fall River show, get to the Comedy Connection in
East
Providence.
Come on
out
to the comedy. Bring a
one.
Spare liver and a fucking bail
now,
money.
Now, Mike is a must-see comic no matter when you get a chance to see him. He is absolutely hilarious on stage. There is nobody.
But the fact that he's coming off the wagon on St. Paddy's Day.
But there's,
I get special powers. I'm 100% Irish. I'm so Irish I can't eat English muffins.
No.
Tastes like a Prussian.
But nobody is better named than the Comedy Barbarian.
No, exactly.
Than Mike McCarthy. Yeah.
I didn't get this because it rhymes with McCarthy.
No.
But
no.
To see him on St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, it's awesome.
Is like seeing Superman in the Fortress of Solitude.
Yes, yes.
You know, you've got to see him on that day.
You know what, though?
You have to see him on that day.
I'm sorry. I have to say this as an Italian. I think there's so many St. Paddy's Day comedy shows with Irish comedians. Why aren't there more St. Joseph's Day comedian
Columbus Day,
comedy
like
shows?
That?
Well, because what are people going to eat Zeppelis and watch you all day long? It's not as fun.
Yeah, drink some Zambuca.
It's not as good as drinking beer.
Besides us and the Mexicans, you guys got to get on board. They got Cinco de Mayo.
Right,
we got St. Patrick's Day. Everybody else is missing out.
All we do is eat pastries.
One day where you just go like this. Well, the Irish are so fiercely proud of their heritage, and you can't offend us. Like other, you can't even. You know what I mean?
You're a drunk.
St. Patrick's Day.
That's
everybody
right,
gets.
I
everybody
am.
Gets drunk. You know
right,
I mean? Dude. You know what I found out? They call the paddy wagon for.
Yep.
It was for St. Paddy's Day.
No, it was because the Paddies that came over here were such drunken hooligans.
Yes.
They named the vehicle
yes,
they had to
really?
Take to. Yeah. You know what I thought
wow.
when I heard that? That's awesome.
That's exactly.
You think any other culture would do that?
Right.
No.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yo, yeah.
God, they're like, fuck yeah. Yeah. It'd be an embarrassment, but not for the Irish.
Yeah. It's like when someone calls you a masshole and they think we're offended by it.
Right,
right.
Right. Yeah. That's a badge of honor.
Absolutely.
If all of a sudden on St. Joseph's Day they arrested a bunch of Italians, they call it the Guinea wagon. I don't think it would be as well.
No.
The WAP wagon?
Yeah, the WAP wagon.
I got a joke. It's very racist, so I'm not going to say it. I'll tell
well,
you
because
afterwards.
Frank Santarelli might be listening, and you will be fucked.
Yeah. No. It's not about Italian. It's something else, but I'll tell
right.
you guys afterwards.
All right.
But,
yeah.
But
anyway.
My pleasure, man. Thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, love having you on, Mike.
This was so much
love
fun.
Love having
thanks,
you on, Mike.
Man.
So, guys, I hope you guys, everyone that's listening, enjoyed that. We love whenever Mike comes on. Check him out again at his website. Link in the show. Show notes as he is
99 on Amazon
as he is showing is that what
this is Stormbreaker
it's that's Stormbreaker
Thor's axe technically
Thor's
not
axe.
A barbarian's
yeah.
thing but $2.99 on Amazon
Odin,
I can't fucking
Thor, whatever
I already had one my wife goes why do you need two axes I go I have two fucking hands
that's right
so what kind of dumb question is that
right
exactly so logical so logical why do wives ask dumb questions
I have no idea
you know but
I wouldn't know I don't have
but one. Anyway definitely go on his website check him out if you can't see him on St. Paddy's Day please check out one of his other shows you will not be disappointed
thank you so much man
thanks man
thank you so much for joining us this week we hope you enjoyed this week's episode if you really want to help out the podcast one great way to do that is to go wherever you download your episode and give us that 5-star written review
yeah that really helps us with the analytics and the algorithms helps more people find us and speaking of more people finding us tell a friend about us if you enjoy
Please.
The show and you've got friends that enjoy comedy podcasts or podcasts in general please let them know about Behind the Funny.
Of course, we will talk to you
next week.